Iron overload disorder is exactly as described, too much iron. Problem is, by the time zookeepers find out a rhino has it, like Sushi the Sumatran rhino in 2014, it's too late. There's no cure. Scientists at CRU, the Center for Conservation and Research of Endangered Wildlife, had an idea. Locate rhino horns from deceased animals at zoos and museums around the world, then sample them for iron. It could be an early indicator of the disease, because a liver biopsy on a living animal isn't an option. But before the Cincinnati Zoo can start drilling into the horns of live rhinos, it has to prove this concept will work. First, scientist Elizabeth Donlin needs to find out the gender and species of the deceased rhino horns she's studying. White rhinos aren't affected by the condition, just black and Sumatran rhinos.
The problem is those horns don't always have great labels. And they've been sitting in closets for a while or in I don't know, containers for a while, and they might have been labeled, but they're not anymore.
It's a long process. First, she takes the drilled-out horn sample, which looks like paper confetti, and turns it into a fine powder. That's done with liquid nitrogen and a mortar and pestle.
The horns are made of keratin, which is the same thing that our nails and our hair have in them as well. And so it does store molecules. So it seems to be a pretty good option.
Donlin then extracts the DNA from the powder and amplifies it. This takes a couple of days. But she's not done yet in this process to create a genetic profile of each rhino and determine if iron in its horn translates into iron in its liver. Donlin then goes to the Cincinnati Museum Center to get a complete DNA profile. Zoology curator Heather Farrington is happy to help.
Oh, I was super excited because we've been trying for a long time to get some collaborative projects going with the zoo and allowing them to access our facility and use our cool equipment. And so it's great. It's been a fun partnership.
Donlin has made two trips to Farrington's genetic lab and will likely need to make 2 to 3 more. That's because the museum has a machine the zoo doesn't. It creates a barcode just like 23andMe.
And ideally what we will do is we'll match that barcode with either itself, because rhinos have two horns. So we don't know if we measured from one individual, but both of its horns, or just one horn from that individual. And then also match that back to the liver sample. So then we can identify if the liver sample and the horn sample that we have are a match as well.
Then it's back to the zoo to wait out the results from genetic tests at the museum.
Then I get all the data that Heather has sent me, and I spend a ton of time staring at my computer playing a really advanced game of match.
The zoo can't really validate its theory until the horn information is compared to an animal's liver. Crew director Terry Roth.
We are also collecting liver samples from animals that have died. So that we have, basically that's our gold standard, how much iron is in the liver. And so we will have some matched horn samples and liver samples so that we can really make that analysis. So the livers with high levels of iron, do the horns on those same rhinos have high levels of iron? And that's really going to be how we validate the methodology.
All these tests don't change the fact that iron overload disorder is a potentially fatal condition. So it has to be caught early.
So it might just be a preventative care that they're doing. It might be something like, oh, this animal doesn't look quite right. Maybe some blood levels aren't quite right. So let's take a horn sample and see what the iron levels are there.
If all this sounds complicated, it is. See a zoo video on our website, wvxu.org, that explains the concept in more detail. This science might have applications beyond rhinos. Roth says the zoo is measuring over 14 minerals in the horns and finding arsenic and lead. Mineral imbalances can cause health problems in a wide variety of animals. Ann Thompson, 81.7 WVXU.